All right. Hi, everybody. If I mispronounce your name, just correct me, okay? Daniel Adekwaye.
Here.
Amira Aftab. Sanya Agarwal.
Here.
Lydia Bloom. Dylan Carson.
Here.
Zora Duram.
Present.
Grace Dorward. Max Ehrlich. Christian Flournoy.
Present.
Ezra Galperin.
Present.
Lawrence Hahn.
Present.
Vanj Kakra.
Present.
Sion Kim. Catherine Christopa.
Present.
John Purcell. Hayden Spector.
Present.
Jocelyn Swabi. Christian Turala.
At your service.
Aiden Viacio. Thor Wagsback.
Here.
Did I say that right, Thor?
Wagsback.
Wagsback. Thank you. Alexander Walters. Hayden Watkins. Jinju Wu. Eric Yao. Kennedy Young. Sweet. Everyone is here.
Job guy. Cornell University is located on the traditional homelands of the Gaigahono. The Gaigahono are members of the Haudenosaunee Confederacy, an alliance of six sovereign nations with a historic and contemporary presence on this land. The Confederacy precedes the establishment of Cornell University, New York State, and the United States of America. We acknowledge the painful history of Gaigahono dispossession and honor the ongoing connection of Gaigahono people, past and present, to these lands and waters. We have no meeting minutes to review. We have no communications to the student assembly. We have one item on the consent calendar, so I'll pause here to give a brief explanation on the consent calendar to the best of my ability. The item that we have on the consent calendar has no opportunity for debate. It is either there's a move to approve the items on the consent calendar, and consent is like a reference to unanimous consent. So if even one person dissents the approval of whatever's on the consent calendar, it moves to our third reading calendar, which means that then we return to the resolution for an actual open debate and questions for the sponsors, etc. At the moment, we have only the 2025-2026 student assembly meeting schedule on the consent calendar. So a motion to approve the consent calendar item by unanimous consent. I have a second. Their dissent. Okay, seeing none, the student assembly meeting schedule is approved. You guys should put these in your calendars because you are representatives and you do have to be here.
Point of inquiry. Is RPC, wait, what is RPC 218? Like, what are these places?
RPC 218 is the multipurpose room in Robert Purcell Hall. I was just waiting to have this schedule approved, and then in the calendar invites, I'm going to write everything out. So that's just the code that we get from schedule.
Good, thank you.
And for members as well, while I'm talking of scheduling, your attendance is tracked, and the details on attendance rules of Zoom attendance, attendance by proxy, excused absences, and unexcused absences are outlined in the bylaws. So please review those for your knowledge. If you accumulate over three unexcused absences, or a total of three absence points, I guess, over that, then you are eligible to be put up for impeachment. So there's a whole process there, again, outlined in the bylaws. We have no, are there any reports from officers, committees, or liaisons? We have no committee chairs right now, and the committees haven't met, so I assume there are none of those. We don't have liaisons yet. I will send a new email with liaison information to everybody to be liaisons to byline organizations and other assemblies and other groups that the student assembly has liaisons for. after this meeting. So do any officers have reports? Okay, seeing none, we'll move to announcements. I have a variety of announcements. First of all, I'd like for you all to check your emails and RSVP to the gathering with the president for Student Assembly and GPSA members. GPSA is shorthand for Graduate and Professional Student Assembly, so us and the grad students. Please RSVP to that. Even if you can't come, it's polite to RSVP. Again, it is with important people. We'll also be sending out emails to independently and individually to continue the meetings that I began prior to our organizational meeting back in May. So I'm looking for roughly monthly meetings with every person just to check in with you all. So check your emails for that as well. We're hopefully going to have a team building and student assembly orientation sometime in October. It's still in the planning stages, but there'll be more updates on that to come. And there's an updated resolution template for 2025-26. So if you go to your box, you go to the student assembly, you go to student assembly resources, that's pretty clearly outlined as the resolution template for 2025-26. Please use that. If you are previously served on the student assembly and you have a saved resolution template, don't use that, use the new one in the box. If you want advice on writing a resolution, if you have ideas, you want to work with someone else, your first point of contact should be our Vice President for Policy, Daniel Hadaquay, over there. So everyone knows who you are. Okay, that's the end of my announcements. Do any other officers have announcements? Seeing none, we have no presentations this week. And I'll move to public comment. I will now recognize any community member who wishes to speak at this time. Each community member may speak once for up to 3 minutes. There's no time limit on total public comment or number of speakers. Are there any takers for public comment? Seeing none, we'll move to public hearings, but we have no public hearings. We'll move past public hearings to second reading calendar. Again, for new members, the second reading calendar is essentially the first presentation of a resolution. Resolutions under the second reading calendar are open for, I'd say, more relaxed debate. So, and Q&A with sponsors. There will be no vote on any second reading calendar items. So again, it's more flexible for debate and suggestions of amendments where in the third reading calendar, amendments need to be in exact language. In second reading calendar, amendments are more on intent and general idea, and that those types of suggestions. With one sponsor, Hayden. Okay, yeah. So we've EVP Flannoy and Vice President Watkins here to present Resolution 4, approving special projects funding requests for Black Students United.
I was given this by the president of Black Students United. Black Students United serves as a vital advocate for the needs of students of the Pan-African diaspora at Cornell University. Our work centers on addressing the political, institutional, social, and educational barriers that affect our communities, with particular focus on uplifting the global Black community. As an organization grounded in civic responsibility, we are deeply committed to fostering political awareness, community engagement, and social advocacy among our members. The Congressional Black Caucus's Foundation's annual legislative conference offers an unparalleled opportunity to further these goals. As one of the most influential gatherings of Black policymakers, advocates, and thought leaders, the ALC provides critical insight into the legislative and social issues that shape the lives of Black communities across the world. The mission and work of the foundation closely mirror our own, particularly in their dedication to equity, justice, and the development of Black leadership. We are seeking support to send BSU members to this powerful conference so they may engage firsthand with conversations around public policy, education, environmental justice, economic equity, and civil rights. Our goal is for these student leaders to return to campus equipped with new knowledge, tools, and inspiration to mobilize their peers, educate their communities, and take bold action in support of justice. We believe their participation in the ALC will not only empower their personal and professional growth, but also strengthen BSU's impact on campus and beyond.
So thank you for reuniting. So yeah, essentially Congressional Black Caucus has their annual conference and BSU is asking for funding for that. And they just kind of want to go ahead to put this resolution out there because the conference is September 24th to September 28th. So it's kind of earlier than a lot of other conferences. So they want to go ahead and kind of put this in the rain so we can go ahead and try to get the money for it.
Before we move to comment and debate, I do want to outline that for those of you who don't know what special projects funding is, since we have the standing rules resolution in today's agenda, you can flip to through your paper agenda to page 9 of 10 of resolution 1 that outlines special projects funding. So the cap for special projects funding from the student assembly is $5,000 per organization per year. So in this case, BSU would be requesting 90% of their potential special projects funding for this year. Additionally, it is precedent for there to be a financial appendix. So for next week, BSU will have to submit a financial appendix explaining why this is the amount that they have requested, but we'll still continue with debate and Q&A for the sponsors. Representative Galperin.
Yeah, this, can you hear me? Yeah, this seems really great. I think we funded it last year too. I'm all for it.
No, we tend to fund their February trip to DC. So this is new.
This one's new. Okay. Point being, I think this is great. Zora, I guess, already said it. I think we would appreciate just having like a breakdown of what these expenses are because it is a significant amount, but this seems like a great thing for us to fund.
You have any response? For...
Yes, thank you.
Okay. Representative Tarala.
I'm just curious what our full budget is for any clubs this year total.
The proposed right now is about 11,000.
Okay. So a little less than half of our 11,000 for the semester.
There's more money in the reserves if we did want to replenish that. So for everyone, we have about $35,000 this year for our operating budget, and then we have about $60,000 in reserves. Representative Galperin.
Motion to send to third reading calendar.
Can you repeat that, please?
Motion to send this to the third reading calendar.
Is there a second? Okay, is there dissent? Seeing none, this resolution moves to the third reading calendar for next week. Thank you.
Thank you.
We'll now move to the third reading calendar where we have three resolutions. We'll start with resolution 1, adoption of the standing rules of the 2025-2026 term of the Student Assembly. Again, the three resolutions on the third reading calendar will be debated and voted on in today's meeting. I will be ceding chairship to EVP Flournoy. So resolution 1, if you all can review in box or in your paper agendas, is proposing the standing rules for this term. It is precedent for the standing rules to be at least proposed and usually approved at the first meeting of the year because we do need them for the meeting-to-meeting operations of the student assembly. They expire at the end of the term.
So they are pretty much the same ones as they were last year, except made one change that I prefer. So if you go to page 3 of this resolution, added subsection 102, adjournment, which states, A, following the last order of business on the agenda, but prior to the scheduled adjournment of a regularly scheduled meeting, the assembly shall move into a committee of the whole. The chair of the assembly shall chair the committee of the whole. And B, prior to 6 p.m., subsection 102 shall be exempt from subsection 100A. This section shall only be suspended by unanimous consent. So that means that if we were to end our agenda at 5:30 p.m., we would go into committee of the whole, which is essentially there's no meeting minutes taken. It would be a more casual, kind of open discussion style of assembly. And we would remain in committee of the whole until 6 p.m. when someone could motion to adjourn. And that motion would then be honored as a motion to end the assembly meeting. But essentially, you all should have 4:45 p.m. to 6:30 p.m. blocked in your calendars on Thursdays. We have plenty of meetings that run within that time frame, or within 4:45 to 6 p.m. Outside of that. But we also have many meetings that run very short, and you do not have to then commit much time in the current structure of the assembly where adjournment means that everyone gets to leave. There's very little opportunity for assembly members to casually work together or kind of build ideas as a full group, because this is usually the only time that everyone schedules lines. That is where this idea comes from. So added to the standing rules. Everything else, like I said, is the same as last year. I'm happy to answer any questions.
Representative Shiduri, or actually, Representative Galperin.
Yes, pretty standard stuff, I guess. We need it to function, so I'm glad we're doing it. The only thing that I kind of worry about is us reverting to this, it being 2/3 of all voting members to vote to suspend the rules. That was not how it was last year, if memory serves, or that it was 2/3 of exec. Can you just explain why we changed back to that?
Subsection 100A has remained consistent. I went off of Yifeng's standing rules, which also included the lack of agenda suspension. There are three sections that are not subject to subsection 100A, which is the suspension of the rules, because the rules can be suspended in the suspension of the rules applies to anything on this document, unless otherwise stated. So there are now three sections where it's stated that suspension of the rules is not allowed. So the agenda tampering one, the agenda editing one, which I think is, I'm trying to find it. Line 184, so it's page 6, subsection 104P, this section shall be exempt from subsection 100A, the section shall only be suspended in an order of the executive board. So that remains as in without the approval of the executive board, the rules cannot be suspended to reorder the agenda. And there's also in another here, which is subsection 105C. The section shall be exempt from subsection 100A. Shall only be suspended by the executive board, which is also on changing whether something is in second or third reading for that agenda. So that stayed consistent.
Representative Shiduri.